Well, you could not. Keep this as a secret. This is our secret. You don't tell anybody. If you tell, I'm going to kill you. I will kill you. And I knew in my heart of all hearts. You know, like a dog can tell when a person is bad. Little kids have that same sort of thing about them, where they can tell too when someone's a little bit off. I never liked this guy. He was an uncle through marriage. He wasn't blood. So, he just raped the hell out of me, that's all. I figured in that time, as much as I can remember, in a year and a half, it was approximately 174, maybe 175 times that he raped me as a child at the age of 6. I finally told an aunt of mine who was an alcoholic, but she was a funny lady, and I liked her, and I knew she liked me. She came to visit. And I told her, and she went and told my mother. And I got out of it. And then we moved to New York sometime later on. That's when I got kidnapped and raped. I already knew it was coming. And then I had a brother that couldn't keep his hands off of me. He thought I was some sort of playground or something. Mother didn't care. I told her. But we still tell kids today, tell. Because if you don't tell, these monsters are out there roaming the streets. My brother's down Florida somewhere. I hope the Gators got him. And he used to mess with my friends, too. Couldn't keep his hands off of anybody. You see, a true pedophile can't keep their hands off of children. That's what they live for. Right? That's their passion, okay? Is to go out and tend to stalk kids, their prey, P-R-E-Y. So, I don't know where he is. I got a phone call some time ago. A member of the family was looking for him. They gave him money, they should have done that. He's a con man too. And he's been missing for months. Well, I think he's dead. I don't feel like him. Why would I? Isn't that nice, right? He's out messing with kids all the time. Right? So then after that, by the time I was 17, I ended up where I wasn't supposed to be because I became a kid who went out on the streets. My mother told me that she didn't love me, we'd never be friends, I couldn't hug her, and I couldn't say I love you. So I had no mother and I had no father. Stepfather was a very nice man, don't get me wrong. Very talented, he was a flower grower, and he did well. And he was very good to my children. But he and I couldn't speak. I found out later on that my father, well, I don't know if it was my father or someone else, had raped my mother, and I was a product. I know this now. My mother didn't want any more children after my brother. And I can't pop him out, because she got raped. In those days, which will tell you how old I am, they used coat hangers. Didn't have abortion clinics. A lot of women died. So she kept me. I don't know what for, because I wasn't wanted. Now, is this a boo-hoo story? No, I'm no different than a lot of people. It may be boo-hoo to you, but I'm used to it. And let me tell you something. I am not unique. There are at least 850,000 kids, at least, and this is reported cases, who are sexually abused a year. A big percentage of them are from 8 years old and under. Even infants can be abused. Yeah. That shocked the heck out of me when I learned that. But whoa. Well, I won't go into how they can be abused. A lot of them die. So we have all these children being abused. I don't understand why the government doesn't take action and do more for child abuse. It makes people like myself mad. I'm glad that they're working more on the campuses. I have heard that a bomb. That Obama has gotten more police on the campuses and things like that. He's taking things like that more seriously for the, you know, for the college kids, and for that I'm happy about. I really am. No one deserves to be raped or you know, or sexually abused in any way. Whether you're molested or raped, it's abuse. People say to me, what's worse, abuse in the sense of being actually penetrated or molestation? They're both wrong. What's the difference? Right? Now, I'm going to tell you something shocking. I live in a sort of like urban type area, and every fourth house or fifth house, whether you look to the left or whether you look to the right, I don't care, there's something going on. Now, statistics state this. We get this from the Justice Department, the FBI, Child Help, Missing and Exploited Children. They come out with these stats. This is where we get the stats from, okay? This isn't Carol Levine making up stats. It's not, you know, the National Association of Adult Survivors making up stats. Our website, by the way, is www.nasca.org. I have one somewhere. If you want to learn a lot about, you know, sexual abuse and physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, every kind of abuse that there is, that's where you go. We are not national anymore. We are now worldwide. We have a radio show that I'm very proud of. I'm co-host, where people call in from all over the world. They'll stay up until 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. We had someone call from Israel not too long ago, and he's called several times, just to speak to us on the show. We are world-known worldwide, so we should change our name. We're not national anymore, we're worldwide. We offer a lot of different services on our show. If there are adults, 18 and over, who have been abused and never got help, you can call our show, we'll guide you. We have a contact list. And there's around 25 names on there. You can call anyone you want. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Kind of hard with going to Christmas and stuff, let me tell you something. But we're there. We're there. Alright? Now, I want to talk to you about child abuse itself. Child abuse takes away your self-esteem. It takes away any good feelings that you have about yourself, and it's very hard to move forward because you suffer many times from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Yes, when the vets come home from the service, a lot of times they suffer from PTSD because of trauma that they have seen. But when children are growing up in a household where they're being abused, okay, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, or neglect, many times they suffer too from PTSD. Some years ago, I wrote a book called Panic Child. I'm the perfect person to do that because I suffered to the point of panic, or I didn't want to leave the house. It turned into agoraphobia. Then I got mad. By the time I was 13, I started to drink. I hung out with people on the streets. There were drug addicts. I had people die in front of me. I used to go down to Newark, and I saw chain fights because there were drug addicts. And, you know, some deals would go over bad, so they'd end up fighting. So all kinds of things. Turned into a biker. Still like Harleys, though. The Harley's outside, I'll be outside. I like it. A lot of fun. But anyway, the point is this. I was not a very good girl. I turned into doing all kinds of things that were bad. I'm sorry for some of the things that I did, but I'm not terribly sorry because I had no one to guide me. It's like I put myself up. I didn't do a very good job. But the fact that I'm still alive, living the type of lifestyle that I had to live, is very good. It showed that I did something right. And the very fact that I stand before you here today, talking to you about how it feels to be a person of abuse, no longer the victim, but the warrior who goes out and teaches about child abuse. And there are many of us now doing it. We're doing this for a reason. Not because we want to tell you about how we lived or anything like that. We're trying to raise awareness in a way that people will understand. We need for people to understand child abuse. How does it affect you? You say, well, it doesn't affect me, Annie. Well, yes, it does. You see, a lot of my friends, they committed crimes. They ended up in juvenile. Or maybe they went to the big house. Okay, they went to prison because they were older. I hung out with the, kids that were my age and older. The ones that were older, they went to prison. Some died in those prisons. I was a part of the Broadway Lifers program, Scared Straight, the original. And that was a cool thing. I did that for about 3 years. And then they turned it down, they shut it down, and I received a phone call. And they said to me, how could we possibly make this better? And I said to them, they should have orange jumpsuits. Take them into the kitchens, take them into the showers. What happens in the showers? Okay? You want to teach people about what crime does to you and why you shouldn't be a criminal and all this other stuff. Let them see what it's like. And if they're really bad, keep them overnight now. As far as I know, they haven't done that. They have it on TV now. But it originated in Rahway, New Jersey. That's where it started. And I was a part of that for a good three and a half years. And then I worked in detention center, and I found out that those kids in detention center, many of them had been abused sexually. Mostly sexually, but physically, emotionally. What is emotional abuse? And this is what we're going to act at, okay? I'm going to start telling you how we're going to become actors and actresses here. Emotional abuse is when you do live at home, and your parents say to you, you're nothing but a jerk. Okay? You're never going to amount to anything. You're stupid. You know, why can't you be like your brother Jimmy? Or like your sister? She's a lot smarter. Okay? That's emotional abuse at home. Emotional abuse is every bit as bad as physical abuse. It lasts. The scars go away, right? They used to call me Scarface when I was a kid at one time. Because I have a scar here, I have a scar here from the beer bar, I got a scar over here, I got a scar over here. And it was all from things, you know? Because my father, my biological father, I think he wasn't now, I realize that. I thought he was then. Was an alcoholic, so I had beer bottles all over the place, and I smashed one one day, and came up and chopped my nose off. Almost died. That's another time. So what you have to understand is, okay, whether it be emotional abuse, telling people, your children, that they're, a piece of garbage, that's going to last with you. Because these are the people who are supposed to nurture you and love you and guide you and show you what's right and show you what's wrong. That's emotional abuse. Then you have, of course, physical abuse. Now, we can't get too physical in here. We can't walk out of here with slap marks and stuff and all this other stuff. That wouldn't be too cool. I get in trouble. But then, of course, you have sexual abuse. And we can't do that either. So, but we also have neglect. What is neglect?
Go ahead.
Neglect is, I'll tell you what neglect is, that's right, that's a part of it. Neglect also is when a child is hungry and you don't feed them, right? And if it's, winter time, maybe they don't have a coat, or they don't have boots. And so I'm not talking about because maybe they're poor or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about parents, maybe themselves are drug addicts, they'd rather spend their money, you know, on their drugs or on the alcohol and all this other stuff, rather than get their children what they need. That's neglect. Okay? When your kid falls down and breaks his arm or something, and you know, and you don't take him to the hospital. That's neglect. Neglect comes in all different forms. And emotional abuse comes in all different forms. So what we as a society have to do, I'm not talking about the government, because help doesn't come from the government. I watch all of those things from the government. I love to watch them all make a fool of themselves half the time. I love to watch the debates. I haven't heard anything about child abuse, have you?
No.
No.
That's stupid. Don't talk about it.
Right. They're not going to make money off of child abuse. So here we have this society of children who have been abused, and again, every fourth or fifth house, whether it be on the left-hand side or whether it be on the right-hand side, something's going on. Now, children do not talk about it. Two-thirds keep their mouths shut because they've been threatened, or they're embarrassed, or they just don't know what to do. They don't know who to tell. Okay? So when we have problems like this, the children don't have any help from anywhere, not at home. And this is why we're trying very hard to push, like Aaron Merritt's law. Has anyone heard of that? Aaron Merritt's law? She's been in many states now, and we're trying to get it into the schools about child abuse. And this way, not only is it prevention, because we deal with prevention, intervention, and recovery on NASCA, but this way, which is the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, much easier to say NASCA. Okay. We want children to know that it's okay to tell, and if they have it in the school, and they know they can go to the doctors, or they can go to the nurse's office and they're being abused, or a social worker, someone that they feel comfortable with. Like, I had to feel comfortable with someone before I told. But if they have maybe three or four different areas that they can go to, one of those people they'll feel comfortable with, and they'll help them. Now, something I found out, which to me is very shocking, a lot of teachers, a lot of professors, and other people, police officers, don't know enough about child abuse. They just simply don't. They don't have the time. They don't have the time as far as in college where they should be taught. You know, if you're going to be a social worker or whatever you're going to be, you should have time to learn about child abuse. This is important. And also, as a society, we want you to be educated. What to look for. Like, I go to daycare centers, I don't even tell them I'm coming. I just go. And this way, I hand out information, like the NASCA one here was saying. And I'll say that I am a representative from the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And they immediately open up the door. And I want to give you information. So when I do that, I can look around. I can see if the place is dirty. I can look around and see if there isn't enough people. Like, I think with infants, you're supposed to, I don't remember the ratio, but I think you're supposed to have, like, quite a few workers with the infants because it's harder. And, okay. And there's certain laws you're supposed to follow. And then some of them don't do it, okay? I will turn your butts in. Because there are kids that are getting abused, even sexually, at daycare centers. Or they're not watching them, and they fall down and hit their head too much. All right? Things like that. But this is what you should watch out for. Now, this is for the younger kids. Well, they're the ones that are in the daycare centers. And even some a little bit older than that. Sleep disturbances, if they're getting sexually abused. Bedwetting, they've regressed their behavior. Self-destructive or risk-taking behavior, jumping over chairs, and they might get hurt, you know, things like that. Refusal to be left alone. They're scared. Someone has abused them. They don't want to be left alone. They don't want to go over maybe to a relative's house anymore because that relative has touched them. And they're afraid to tell, okay? Fear of an individual such as an alleged offender, young relative, fear of people of a specific type of gender, if it was an uncle, in my case it was an uncle, I certainly didn't want to be alone with him, did I? But I was. Violence setting. I thought older kids would do that. 8 years old can do that. Alright, they get a hold of some matches or a light or something, and they'll start talking. I was really shocked to hear that one. Cruelty to animals, that's another one. Again, I think of kids, you know, who have been abused, that they're going to be cruel to animals. Not the younger ones. The little kids usually always love, you know, fluffy things and all that stuff. So I was surprised to hear that too. Problems relating to their peers. They become difficult in the daycare center or in kindergarten or whatever they're in. And inappropriate interest for their age and things sexual. Okay? Now I know of a case where a little girl was going to a daycare center and she was being touched in the daycare center by another kid, not by a staff member. So she told, and they started watching and they found out, they investigated it, and they investigated this little boy, and they found out that at home, he was seeing inappropriate things. Also, the parents were acting in an inappropriate way. They had people coming over there having some kind of weird parties going on there without being too explicit about this. And quite frankly, the little boy, if this is what you see, this is how you behave, right? So he goes to daycare and he starts messing around with the little girls. He was removed from the daycare center, and he was also removed from that home, which is a good thing, I hope. Again, we have people on the show that come on the show that are foster care, they're foster care parents. Sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're not so good. We have to do something in this country. Our country's falling apart in all different ways. In the government, yeah, but also just in society in general. It's hard to pick a good foster care parent. Okay, now with the older kids, this is not going to be surprising, I don't think, but they have eating disturbances such as their bulimia and anorexia. They run away, substance abuse, self-destructive behavior, suicidal thoughts, attempted, I had tried that once, with my mother standing next to me telling me to do a good job. Self-mutilation, incorrigibility, criminal activity, depression, and social withdrawal, problems related to peers, sudden change in behavior, anger issues, and difficulty in school. Well, that's not too surprising with the, you know, the teenagers. I can see that happening. I was more surprised with the smaller kids, with the cruelty to animals, with the fire starting, things like that. Didn't expect that. Now, what can we do as a people? Now, you're going to have handouts when you leave. And I want you to look over these handouts, because you see, now I'll give you some information here. Every fourth or fifth house, we know that something's going on. Again, this comes from the government. This isn't anything that NASCA makes up. We get our stats where I said from. And they have done all kinds of investigations, right? And this is what they come up with. So keep your eyes open, all right? If you see a kid walking down the street And maybe the kid has bruises. Why does the kid have bruises? He's got a wound on his head. If you see a kid that's walking down the street who isn't dressed appropriately, why is he not dressed appropriately, or she? Okay? What's going on here? If you hear a lot of yelling in the house, don't be afraid to call the cops. You can do it without giving your name. See, there's no more excuses. You can remain anonymous. The 1-800-4-CHILD number, I'm going to give you all cards, is actually in the mid-country, but this is still a national number. And what they do, I called them at 2 o'clock in the morning because people were telling me that they call these hotline numbers and they weren't getting anywhere. All right, maybe they get a call back tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. They call back and no one would answer. And so, there's problems with the hotline services. So I called the 1-800-4-CHILD number at 2 o'clock in the morning to see if they were going to answer the phone. Not only did they answer the phone, I had a nice long conversation. I had them on the show, Child Help. They've been around for many years. They've been around since the 50s. It was started. Now, so you have someone like that, you can call them, and they'll say, okay, you live in New Jersey. I know exactly who to call. So this way, you don't have to really become involved, but you may have saved a life. You could be someone's hero. I wish I had a hero. So this is one way that people can become involved. And it's very, very important that you make that phone call. I forget what that stat is. There's so many phone calls that are being made, and I'm so thankful that people are starting to make those phone calls. But for God's sake, every few seconds, while we're speaking now, the time that I've been here, there's so many kids that have been abused right now. By the time you put your head on a pillow tonight, there's thousands of kids who are abused. Thousands. I used to wait for the doorknob to turn in the morning. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I was living with my pedophile uncle. That doorknob turned in. I knew he was coming. My aunt was downstairs lovingly making him breakfast and making his lunch. He worked in the city. I lived in New Jersey at that time, back and forth. But anyway, the point is this. He's upstairs molesting me and doing more, raping me. And she's downstairs, ta-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Ridiculous. We have to start. Are there anyone here that have children of their own? I know you do, and you do, and you do. All right, now this is it, and you have, yeah, you do, that's right. I remember you telling me, and of course I do. My little girl over here. She doesn't like that. Okay. What I want to get across to people is, when children are very young, start talking to them about their body. When they say, Mommy, so you give them a bath. Mommy, what's this? And you say, oh, that's your foot. Mommy, what's this? Oh, that's your knee. Mommy, what's this? That's my shoulder. That's your shoulder. I show your shoulder. Mommy, what's this? Oh, those are your breasts. Little girl. Well, little boys have them too, don't they? It's your breasts, right? Your chest is your breast, whatever. Okay. What's this? Oh, it's your belly button. What's that? Oh, it's your penis. Oh, it's your vagina. You see, if you say it all in the same tone of voice, there's no shame. If you start giving them the names like the coochie, I grew up with the coochie. I think a lot of them grew up with the coochies. That's not right. Name it what it is. Why be ashamed? If you're ashamed, then the kid's going to be ashamed. When I was sitting in the police department, when I was kidnapped and raped in New York, I didn't know what the heck was being touched on me, exactly what happened. All I could do was point. No, don't put your kids through that. Teach them, yes, age appropriate. But you see, they're going to give you little hints. They're going to give you little hints about, you know, they want to know about sex, they want to know about their body parts and all this other stuff. And quite frankly, it's important to tell them. Because if you don't tell them, they're going to find out on the street anyway. I had a note from a pedophile. I should have brought it with me. He was in jail, but he was willing to speak about pedophilia. And in this note, he said, if you don't teach your children, I will. Well, he's quite right. Now, these pedophiles, they don't go away for life. I wish they did, but they don't. I wish there was an island we could put them on. I can't think of anything better for them. Some people want to see them shine. I don't blame them. But let me tell you something. The point is, they're going to go out and abuse and abuse and abuse, and the recidivism rate is not down, it's up. And there is no cure for pedophiles. There just simply isn't. I watched a show, it was Oprah, one of the last shows that she had. Okay. I didn't watch Oprah very often, but I did watch this particular show. And she had, I think it was 5 pedophiles sitting in front of her. Of course, she's a survivor as well. Oprah had been sexually abused too. So to have these 5 pedophiles sitting in front of you, she probably was thinking, oh, what I'd like to do to them. But she did say, she asked some questions. And one of the things that she did ask, okay, you've gone for treatment, you paid your time, I said it was 8 years, I don't know, I forget what it was. Can I trust my daughter, if I had a daughter, can I trust my daughter with you? Not one of those guys could say yes. In fact, they said no. There is no cure. So you see, we have to realize this, and we have to start feeling sorry for them. Oh, maybe they had a bad life. Well, I had a bad life, but I'm not out there touching kids. 30% do. That's what the stats say right now. Stats go up and down. 30%. So that means that 70% don't. So if those people don't touch children, well, then fine, wonderful. What about the 30%? You see, there's so many pedophiles out there, it's disgusting. We can't stop this. But we can put a dent, as I say, in the statistics of sexual abuse. If it starts at home, we can at least control that here. If we teach our children and arm our children what to look for, I'll give you some red flags. If you're having a barbecue and there's some guy down the street and he's alone, you know, he's a bachelor and all this other stuff, but he's a nice guy. Maybe he's even played baseball with some of the neighborhood guys and so forth, and you think to yourself, oh, let's bring George over. Let's have George come over and to the barbecue. So George comes over to the barbecue, and you know, these people, they all have kids, right? Well, he's spending too much time with the kids. Instead of going over with the adults, which maybe he'll do for 5 or 10 minutes, he'd rather be with the kids. Now, this is okay if it happens once, maybe. Say they're playing football or something, or baseball, or whatever. But if George comes over again and he's doing the same type of thing, we've got a problem. This is a red flag. Watch out. Because he has his eyes on one of those kids. Alright? He could be male or female, doesn't matter. And by the way, there are females that are pedophiles too. Don't think that there aren't. They're finding out more and more now, and you'll find that on the Huffington Post, which I once did mention. You'll find the teachers. Many of them are pedophiles. Hello, hello. They like to look at the students. And a lot of those teachers are pretty, yeah? And before you know it, you know, they're luring a boy or a girl into their snare, if you will. They'll end up in their apartment or someplace. They treat them like they're special. They groom them. Does anyone know what the word grooming means? Do you know what grooming is? What is it, honey? Right. And you're making them feel special, right? Okay? And maybe you'll buy a gift. Huh? Treat them a little bit differently. Maybe if they're a teacher, they'll have them come in after school. Why don't you help me with this? And well, before you know it, he or she, in this case I'm talking about the females, will have their hands all over the kid. So it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. This is why we have the priests, we have the teachers, we have, I don't care who you are, all right? They don't have to look like a creepy person to be a pedophile, male or female. They look like you and me. There's nothing different. It's their behavior that's different. So when you have a teacher that's too close to kids, right, male or female, that person might have a problem. Or when you have a neighbor, or camp counselors, or the Boy Scouts. We have found out lately that the Boy Scouts, for years, have been abusing little boys. That's outrageous. It was in, I think that was on AOL, too. It does. You think you're doing something good for your kid. You send them to camp. Where they're going to swim, they're going to have a good time, and all this other stuff. And they have camp counselors. Well, where the heck can you send your kid? See, this is the problem. Because there's so many sexual abusers out there, okay? We have to arm our children. Again, we have to arm them. What's appropriate behavior from an adult, and what's not appropriate? And let them know, too, and you'll find that all on our Masking Resources website, right? Go to our website, www.masking.org. I take the resources with me wherever I go, because it gives you many sources of information. It tells you how to speak to children if you think they've been abused, but you're not sure. You don't want to scare them away. You want to say the right things to them. It tells you, you know, what to look for in child abuse, as I've already spoken about. It tells you all different, has all kinds of information on there. So for God's sake, open up the website and look under resources. It's right there, these lavender buttons, as they call them. One is resources. Get a wealth of information. Let's work together to keep our kids safe. Since we can't control the government, let's at least control our homes and our children. We can start there. That's a good start right there. And remember, just about every family has someone in there that's a little bit twisted. You know, I don't want you to start looking at this person like that to see how they're behaving when they're in your family. But remember, it's not uncommon at all to have someone in your family that likes kids too much. So be careful. Do not leave your kids with a babysitter unless you really know the babysitter. Do you know how many kids abuse is going on right now? They're finding this out. We always look at the adults. But there's a lot of kids out there, for their own sexual gratification, they actually go after, you know, the younger kids. This stinks. Who do the kids have to look up to? We have to work on our country, we have to work on ourselves as a nation, as a people. Now, there isn't one person in this room right now, not one, that can't be helpful in this area just by the information that I've given you. Start looking, start listening. If you see something, make a call. You have your own 1-877 number in this area. Make that phone call, or call the 1-800 for a child, which I have on the card, and I'll give it to you. And they'll direct people there. You don't have to even be involved. And you know something? If you're wrong, they don't care. They would rather walk into a situation where the person that made the phone call, because they suspected, was wrong, rather than to walk into a house where kids are laying over dead or bleeding or whatever the heck might be. Okay, so I think I've given you enough information right now. And I'm going to give you handouts so you can read, you know, when you have time, to understand better what I said, because I gave you a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I want you to understand it completely, and I want you to become involved. Is there anyone here that would have trouble becoming involved with trying to help a kid? Is there anyone in here? I don't think so. I see your faces, and I'm a pretty good judge of character now. I've got years behind me, okay? Been around a lot, been around the block a lot, too. I know what's good and I know what's bad, okay? So what I'm trying to get across to you is this, that, you know, we have to do this ourselves. We have to try and take care of children ourselves. And if you need to go to a therapist, say that you have been abused, and you want to go to a therapist, quite frankly, the first question you should ask that therapist is, have you ever had any training with sexual abuse or child abuse? It doesn't always have to be sex. It can be physical, mental, emotional, right? Have you had any training? And if they say no or very limited, get out of there. Remember, these people work for you. You don't work for them. They work for you. You choose the therapist. And make sure that they've had plenty of experience in that area. Now, another thing, too, on the front of our NASCA site, on the front of our NASCA site, you will see an area that says services. You see this, the map of the United States, and you'll see services. Go to that, as long as you're over 18, and you are over 18, and you can get help from that too, okay? Individual help. In Phillipsburg, New Jersey, I'm listed. I'm the go-to person, okay? In Hackettstown, somebody else, other people are listed, other organizations where you can go, if you're over 18. And they have self-help organizations you can go to. Most of the time, you don't have to pay. All right, most of the time, it's free. And that, of course, is good today, isn't it? Free services. All right, so, all right, I'm not going to talk anymore unless I think of something. I think we've gotten down to pretty much what I want to talk about. So now we're going to do some role play. And let's talk about emotional abuse, because that's the easiest one, unfortunately, to do. And don't forget that emotional abuse, right, it stays with you forever. Everything stays with you forever. But like I said, cuts heal, scars can go away, but emotional abuse sticks in your head, and it sticks in your heart. Whether it be from a loved one, or from whomever, someone who made you feel rotten as a kid, or even as an adult. Look at this little boy here. That little boy is not just a painting. That little boy here is an actual kid, all right, that this person knew. Oh. Yeah, I have to have this knee operated on. I want to do this. But before I do that, black eyes, right? You can see that, black eyes. Terrible bruising on the cheeks, bloody nose. This is very common. There's nothing unusual about this. This is a real physical abuse. God only knows what was said to him, right? written by one of our people, Mary Graziano, her name is, a good friend of mine, a good friend to NASA, okay? Now this is like she's talking in the third person, or she's talking or speaking to someone. But it says, "What do you see?" I asked her. "I see such sad faces filled with tears. The look in their eyes shows so much pain. I see the terror of haunting fear. What would you change if ever you could? I would give them hope, hope that they never had. I'd take away their fears from the darkness of the night." "What do you feel?" I asked her. "I feel the presence of danger close by. I feel shivers of fear that make them weep. I wish I could answer their questions. Why? Why me? Why would you take it upon yourself to do these things, to set them right? Because I know the pain they feel. I know the deep sadness they cannot fight. How do you know these things?" I asked. "You were not there. You did not see." "And then I see myself," she said, "stuck in time, unable to get free. Now that you see this haunting fear, can you stop the blame for yourself inside? I've tried so hard to tell myself the blame is not mine. I need not hide. It's not your fault," I gently told her. "Blame needs to be put on him / her instead." I know you're right," she said softly. "Dear God, I thank you," as she bowed her head. Now that's this is how people feel with interviews. Many times they blame themselves. "Maybe I could have done this, or maybe if I'd been a better kid, Daddy wouldn't have hit me so much, or Mommy wouldn't have hit me so much. Maybe I wouldn't have been sexually abused if I'd listened and not gone around the corner. All this other stuff. It is never, ever, ever the fault of the child. Adults know that this is wrong. Do they care? No. Well, they wouldn't do it. They had no conscience, most of them. And even if all of a sudden they have a conscience, they still can't be fixed. Outrageous. All right, I just wanted to read that poem. Not until Mary, but I read a poem. That would make her very happy. Very good. All right, so now we need a daddy. Who wants to be a daddy? Would you like to be a daddy?
I can be, if nobody else is going to volunteer here.
Okay, then you'll be the dad, okay?
I'll be the dad.
Okay. Who wants to be the mommy? Mommy, mommy, mommy? Mommy, mommy, mommy? You're a mommy. Mommy, mommy, mommy? Come on, there's gotta be a mommy in you who wants to be a mommy. Are you bashful?
Me? I'm not a good
actor. I have to have a mother and a daddy. And someone's got to play the kid. Wait a minute. Is there anyone who's short in here? Who's short? You're not short. You'll be the mommy. Okay, now wait a minute. Who's short? Oh my God, my daughter's short. Yeah. She goes, all right. Who else is short in here? I need a kid. Come on. Let me see. You get back up again. Someone's hiding. George, maybe you can help me with this. Who would like to be the kid? Male or female? I don't care. Oh, yeah, I knew you would. Come on, let's go. That's why I'm standing right here. I know people. Let's go. Good. A little scenario here, and you guys are going to act out, but don't want you to kill each other, right? Now, you're the daddy, and you're really nasty. You're a drunk, too. So you can stumble a little bit if you want, all this other stuff. You're coming in the door, you don't move yet, I'm telling you what you're gonna do. You're coming in the door, and you're really, like, nasty. So, you're gonna be coming in the door, and you're gonna see your wife, my Barbie girl wife over here, okay? And you're gonna be really nasty to her, and you're gonna say, what the hell's for dinner? Did you make anything? Huh? Did you make anything for dinner? That type of thing. What are you doing here? Why do you take the garbage out? Are you stupid? What the hell's wrong with you? Who are you hanging out with, huh? What's that stuff on your face? Where have you been? Let me see your arms. You've been shooting up? Let me see, you little brat.
Walking in stoned anyway. How do you feel about it? Think for a minute.
Well,
feel about it. I'm not happy about it. It's upsetting. I mean, you know, the whole idea that they might be a drug addict, that they're going to get themselves, you know, they're going to go the, they're going to be dead. They're, you know, I mean, it's fear.
Sure. Okay. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to see these kids walk in. I can get up. Get back. What does this say? You've got to come in. I'm going to help me out a little bit here because you just quite understand what to do with it. Because this kid's had a walk in stone. Okay. Alright. Come on, let's go. You've been to a party.
I'm starving.
Hey, guy, I have a pipe.
Oh, God, what? What the hell does that smell?
Nothing.
It's just deodorant.
What? Where were you guys at?
Friend's house.
What were you doing?
Hanging out.
Yo, I heard this.
You guys smell like marijuana. Did you smoke marijuana today?
It's marijuana.
Come on, seriously. Did you guys smoke marijuana?
Where's Mom? She knows where the food is.
She's cooking my dinner.
So, yeah, good old Mom in the kitchen.
What else did you guys do? Where were you at? Which friend's house? Seriously, do you guys not understand? What did you do tonight?
Smoke.
You smoke pot, did you?
No, a cigarette.
Okay. Now, Dad, this song, very good. Good to see you. Let me explain this. You didn't smack them. You didn't call them really bad names. It wasn't a personalized type of thing where you were, you know. So the next morning you would sit down with your children. This is what I would hope you do, okay? And sit down and tell them why they shouldn't go out and get stoned, okay? Especially driving stoned, okay? All right, now, this time we're going to do it again, but you're going to be a nasty daddy.
Like
you're
going
to call them gay, you know, all kinds of names, and so you can show them just a little bit. You know, you're supposed to, as I've said before, this is her space. Put your arm around. Right, that's really her space.
Okay.
But you're the father, okay? So put your arms out as far as you can. Okay. All right. What the hell's wrong with you? What are you, stupid? Where the hell have you been? What's that smell? What are you, an asshole? Don't do that! What are you gonna be like, your brother? Huh? Get out of here! What the hell's wrong with you? Answer me! Don't just stand there like a dummy!
A dummy?
Your turn to get laughed at now.
You see, this is what happens, okay? Now, in the opposite, turning it around. If you're coming from a bad home, a dysfunctional home, first of all, they probably been stoned themselves, or they're drunks, right? But what happens is that you get screamed at, you get yelled at, and you you start screaming at them because now you're going to be the daddy that shouldn't be, who's dealing with two kids that went out, got stoned, all right? They never did this before, by the way. They never got stoned before. And you're going to deal with them in an inappropriate way. Right? Inappropriate way.
Okay, I'll take a few.
I think you can handle this. Go ahead. I'll get out of your way. Now, this is what you don't do.
Do you want us to walk in again?
Yeah, walk in again. Play it over. And this is what you don't do.
Should we walk in again?
Oh, I don't care which door you come in. Don't leave that door. Now, you're a father that's going to be really nasty now. This is isn't how you handle kids when they're drunk or stoned. What good does it do?
True. Although I don't know that I would be super warm and fuzzy if my kids
No, you're going to be super warm and yes. fuzzy, but you're going to be mad, and you're going to be mean, and you're going to be inappropriate. Right. I want you to curse. I want you to really knock them down mentally, emotionally, because these are the scars that don't go away.
All right. Okay.
All right. Remember, they're kids, but they screwed up. Let them know they screwed up and be nasty.
All right.
Hungry?
I'm starving.
Whoa, what's this? What is this? You guys smell it? What the fuck have you guys been doing? You guys have been smoking, haven't you? You guys have been fucking smoking. Where, don't you talk back to me, you fucking bitch. I'm gonna sit. You know what? You, I can't believe you fucking jerk. Yo, come with me. You're going down the fucking basement right now.
No!
What? Oh, you wanna go down the basement? I'm gonna chain you in the basement now. You guys are gonna get 2 days now. Come on, you fucking ass.
Dad.
What? Whoa. I don't wanna go to the basement. You wanna go to the basement?
Yeah.
I don't think you wanna go to the basement.
I like soda.
That's good.
Alright, I think it's in the kitchen. I'm going to the basement.
You guys get locked up in the fucking basement. Alright, that's it.
Very good. Exactly what happened. What I do now is I take bits and pieces you know, to show, you know, to help the neighbors. That's what I did. And I don't think I never told a story to you before. Not that I'm sure.
I was in last year.
Huh?
Were you here last year? Was here last year?
I can't hear that.
Were you here last year?
Yeah, I was. I've been here actually for the last, I was here when Dixie was here for 2 years, and then I've been here twice with a professor. And I've been here other times, so I'd like to help teach places. I do that. Yeah. I'm going to keep talking about child abuse and also about parent, you know, I want the parents to be more in touch with their children and to teach them, right from the wrong, but also to teach them about abuse. This is important. So that, all right, you may not have any children right now, but you do have nieces and nephews, all right? You do have cousins. And with information that you've learned from someone like myself or from someone else, it doesn't matter, you can, like tell someone there, like, hey, you should really be talking about this and that to be a good aunt. You can do that. Okay. Or to be a good cousin, whatever you are. You look awfully young to me. I don't know. Are you an aunt?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you have cousins. Who's she? Oh! Okay. Well, the point is, you learn this way, okay? And you can help your families out. Because, all right, you're not old enough, some of you, to have, children. But you have people in the family who have children. So how can you help them? Show them this paperwork, all right? So they learn. And then their children will be safer. Again, we can't stop these monsters. I call them monsters. But we can slow it down if we have educated people and educated children. Okay. All right. Now that concludes my speech, my lecture with you. Okay. And I'm going to be coming back again. Probably in November, I think, probably to talk about domestic violence. I certainly know a lot about that. So what I want to do now is we'll have the candlelight vigil.
You want to show the videos?
Oh yeah, let's watch the videos first. I'm sorry. Hold it. We have a couple of videos here. And they're not long. They're not long videos. But what they are is we'll show you child abuse. Right? And then we'll have the candlelight vigil. Bill Murray, not the movie star Bill Murray, but he's the one that put together the one video that's called The Holocaust. And it's not that long, okay? And then there's another video that I sent, and it shows child abuse. So you get an idea of what's happening to our children. This isn't anything to take lightly.
Holocaust, you went second, right?
I thought it was the first one. Let me see. Oh, yeah, make it second, right. Because that's right before the vigil. Okay, yes.
Thank you. Can you guys hear that?
You notice the hand across the mat, and right there, there's a couple of similarities. We always say, this is our secret. Don't tell. We have to teach our children that they can tell. Get that bond together so that they feel comfortable telling them. Now this was put together. Yeah.
You want to stop it?
Just for 1 second. This was put together by Bill Murray. He's the host of the show, the Stop Child Abuse Now show, and also the founder of the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, which I represent. And so this is his video. He did a good job.
Thank you.
So that's one of the videos that belongs to us, and we're starting to make more videos, we're going to. And so I want you to see that. I want you to see that. There's Bill Murray right there. He's going to love me for the whole time. I changed his name. There he is right there. And that's our page. When I was speaking before about homepage recovery resources, you see the resources right there? That's where you get a tremendous amount of information from. Click onto that. All right. That tells you all different types of things. And then we have all about recovery. And under about, I was just in my mold there. And I have an interview by my newspapers and so forth. And then one link leads into another link. It tells you about missing exploited children. It speaks about the Justice Department. We are involved with all these different organizations. Some have come on our show, and we certainly work with them, okay? And we promote anyone who should be promoted on our show. So that's why now we are worldwide, okay? And it's something that we're doing. We've just now become a nonprofit, 501c3. We have been grassroots for years, I think it's maybe 6 years that I've been on the show. And so that gives us more leeway to make the videos and all kinds of stuff. This is very good. And I just want to get all this information out there. And I want to thank all of you for being here tonight, okay? And this concludes what I have to say. Now, what we're going to do is go outside. We're going to have the vigil, and then that will be the end. So thank you very much, okay? Something out of this. I hope you learned something from it. And don't be afraid to be a hero. Be more afraid to walk away and turn away. Okay? Our children are waiting. They need help.
All right, so we're going to go out. We have candles. The vigil will not take very long. It will be pretty quick. You say a few words. He has the candles. We have everything. So. Yeah, we'll take everything out. I don't know if you want to take some pictures.
You want me to?
Very good. Of course, it's a candle.
Yeah, we'll try it out.
Yeah, I mean...